with Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin.
Explain VAR, because I think a lot of people that are watching for the first time, what the heck is this?
I thought it was the VAR room, like a German war room. I swear to you, that I looked up, I go, oh, they got a VAR room. That's kind of good. I think the VAR room. We go to the VAR room.
Cusimano and Kilcoin, together for 2 hours every morning, beginning at 10, with the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Looking for extra cash? Jewels on Hampton in St. Louis Hills pays some of the highest prices for diamonds, gold, silver, semi-precious stones, coins, flatware, and currency. Located at 4506 Hampton Avenue, just 3 blocks south of Chippewa. Learn more at jewelsonhampton.com or call 314-752-5000. That's 314-752-5000. Jewels on Hampton, paying some of the highest prices.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Yeah, I went to the lobby this past weekend. We took my grandson to see Toy Story 4. I went to the lobby and I got some popcorn, and I didn't eat all of it, and a diet soda. I can't stand diet soda.
Oh, I can't.
This is how serious I am about the... I've lost 40 pounds 3 times, and every time I got it back, it's my own fault.
Does it really help with diet soda?
Apparently soda's got a buttload of sugar.
No, not really. But Tim just held up his regular. Is it regular or diet?
It's diet.
Okay. No, it doesn't. But when you have one and another one, another one, another one, and a couple of M&M's, it all adds up, and that's the way I'm trying to think. Because if you drink, the truth is, you get a regular soda in the movie theater, most of it's ice.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not that much soda, so I don't know how many calories you're actually taking in, 30, 40, I don't know. But I'm really trying my best. So I went to the lobby. And, of course, my grandson gets M&M's. You know how hard it is to sit next to a kid eating M&M's? And you want M&M's, and I love peanut M&M's. So I'm trying. When I go into the lobby, we're going right here because Dan Buffa is here. And he's going to talk about movies and TV shows. And he is brought to you, as he always is, by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. If you want more information, and I would think you would, since it is number one, you go to windowworldstlouis.com. Let's show him how much we love him, everybody. Dan Buffa.
We're going to a show tonight. We're going to go to the Muni.
But that's not a movie or TV show. We talk about movies and TV shows.
That's a live movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not even what we talk about, Dan.
Okay.
What a great start. Dan. We're off to a great start.
I know. Well, that's what he does. So, off the air, I told you that I did go take him to see Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Here's my message to everybody. You don't have children. You don't have grandchildren. You don't have nieces or nephews. Go see it anyway. Go see Toy Story 4 because you do not have to be a kid. In fact, I don't think kids can appreciate what they've done with this Toy Story franchise. It's beyond brilliant. It is absolutely one of the most entertaining things I've seen.
I think it's kind of reversed the trend. It's gotten better as they went along. I mean, I thought 2 was probably the least good. It was still good, but it was probably the least of the 4. But Toy Story 3 was a perfect ending, and then they come back years later.
I think 4 is as good as any of them.
Me too. I think 4, especially the way they kept the focus on Woody, it is in his story. It kind of started out that way in the first one. Now they've come back to it.
And I know they make a lot of money and they do great box office, but they could make even more, and here's how. If somebody beyond just this show could get the word out to, let's say a couple that's in their 40s, 50s, kids are gone, and they're always sitting around going, I'm not into the Marvel comic thing. I'm tired of all the violence and shooting. There's just nothing on. Yes, there is. And just because it's G-rated, don't write it off as something, in this case, that you wouldn't enjoy.
Yeah.
You will absolutely, just like Jungle Book, the last one, it'll blow you away how entertaining it is.
It is. There's a lot of stuff in there for adults. There's a lot of humor that's not like gross out gag
humor. I think there's more for adults than kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think the visuals and I think some of the adventure will keep the kids in there. I liked the spoon that kept trying to be thrown away.
Spork.
It's a Forky. Yeah. Forky is the yeah. And he's like, I'm good for this, this, and maybe some chili. And then he goes diving into a trash can.
See, Zane, here's the other thing. And I actually said this to my wife when we get in the. We started to leave, then we saw that during the credits, folks, stay for the credits because there's during the credits things come along and pop up. And I said, at least it's kind of like when I went and saw the creek where my grandson and his buddies play and jump off an old tree into the creek like the old Stand By Me days. I said to her, I said, well, at least it's good to know that not everything on the screen is F-word this, F-word that. Let's kill as many people as we can. Yeah. There's still Yesterday, which is also a great movie. There's still stories like Toy Story 4. Thank goodness.
Two of the movies we're going to make it a point to go see this
weekend. Dan, you'll love Yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
It really is.
As one of the greatest bass players ever, Dan will appreciate it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I actually bought the soundtrack, and that music plays well even when you're not watching the movie. I was listening to the soundtrack. He sounds good. I mean, you think sometimes the actor will sound good when you're watching the movie, but he sounds good in the car, too. Himesh Patel.
I'd like to know, do they have to use that music? Is it?
Oh, yeah. They got the approval of Paul McCartney to use that. I mean, you have to go through him.
And if I were Paul McCartney, I would have given it to him for free, because what a great hit.
Yeah.
Their record, you know, the record sales, maybe you told me this.
No.
Downloads of Beatles music. When that movie came out, up 60%.
Yeah.
Now, is this true? I've been told that with all the Beatles music, if you were to play every song back to back from every album, it wouldn't even fill an entire day.
That's not true.
Because back then their songs were only like, I think at tops like 2 minutes 50 seconds.
Well,
stuff
now let's
like
think
that.
About that here.
Their songs are short.
Head of research. Are you also?
I thought Hey Jude was like maybe 4 minutes, okay. But that was a
yeah.
High.
Okay, hey,
but
hang on longer.
What did you say? It wouldn't take how long?
Like, apparently, it wouldn't fill a full 24 hours.
Okay, I don't think that's true. How many minutes are in 24 hours?
24 hours.
No, Dan. Minutes.
How many minutes?
60 minutes.
60 times 24. What is that?
Oh man.
Well, calculator, anybody?
8 million. Another 240. So 1440.
1440.
1440
divided by 3.
Yeah,
that's just that average song is 3 minutes. So 1440 minutes divided by 3.
That's 480 minutes.
No,
that's 440. 80,
no,
1440 divided by 3.
Is 4 what?
480.
So that would be 480 songs. Well, you know what?
I gotta think.
Talking about songs they released?
Yeah, I'm talking about like
album. It sounds like it should be more, but 480 songs.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I mean,
so maybe that's true.
On an average album, maybe 12 to 15
true.
Songs.
So maybe that's about right.
On CD, I'm pretty sure I've got all of their albums, but I don't think.
Well, that could be right. That sounds like it may be right.
So that means if it was an average of 12 songs, 40 divided by that is 40. 40 albums? I don't think they released 40 albums now. So
I'm sorry, that didn't sound right, but I guess it is.
Man.
Huh.
So you can sit down and just, okay, you know, midnight, start listening, and you can make
every Beatles song they release.
You can actually buy the complete Beatles songs.
Every song?
DVDs.
How much?
About $25.
Wow.
That's it? Seriously?
That's all for every single one of their songs.
Wow.
Every Beatles song.
Remember when Michael Jackson owned all the rights to all their music?
Yeah.
Remember
It was when he died. That's when everything started coming out across the universe. That musical about it, the rock band, the video game that was all about the Beatles music. Like, when he died, they finally sold the rights to the Beatles music, so then we got to enjoy it a little bit more.
I thought he sold them long before he died. I don't think Michael Jackson died owning the publishing rights
to
the Beatles.
I thought he did.
No, he sold them before.
Did he?
Yeah, Paul McCartney got them back, I think.
Give yourself an idiot.
All right. They released 227 songs.
227?
Wow.
That's all? Wow.
Well, you could listen to it in 18 hours.
Well, you know why? It's because they have so many good songs, and we just think they have so many more. But, I mean, they made every song count.
There's a website, ultimateclassicrock.com, that has ranked all 227 of their songs. I bet if we went around this room, everybody ranked what they thought their number one Beatles song was. I bet it'd be 5 different songs.
Okay,
let's do it.
Number one. Now people say, listen to the music segment. It's all about the movie Yesterday. So
right now all these.
So you know
movies.
It's not Yesterday because I just gave that away, so you can't guess.
Okay,
that.
So this says, and it's based on sales.
It's just based on this one website's ranking.
All right, number one Beatles song. It's not Yesterday. What is it?
I'm gonna say Let It Be.
Wow.
Buffa.
Man, that was gonna be my pick.
You can use the same one.
I'm gonna.
It's very hard because after yesterday, they're all sort of the same level of great.
They are.
Yeah, they are.
You know,
Take one. My first.
I'm gonna say, Hey Jude, just because that's everybody knows that song, but it may not be the most popular.
True. One of my favorites is My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Okay,
mine is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Yeah.
Okay. I must say that number one. Oh my goodness, I just lost it. It's a John Lennon song.
Eleanor Rigby, maybe.
No. All You Need Is Love.
Oh. Okay.
All you need is. No, the number. It's A Day in the Life.
Really?
A Day in the Life. Yeah.
Now I'm sitting here right now, and I know.
So how does
song.
That go?
How does it go? Thank you, because I'm sitting here and I can't bring it up in my mind.
But of course, when he plays it, I'm gonna know.
No, you'll know it in two notes.
Yeah, it doesn't go. Woke up, get out of bed.
No, I don't think so. Oh, I don't think so.
Limey's on it.
I don't think so. We'll find out.
Beatles, what was it?
A Day in the Life.
A Day in the Life.
Limestone Phillips is on it right now.
Day in the Life.
I'm going to say it doesn't start that way.
Where is Hey Jude in the Life?
I think it's a slower ballad, Day in the Life thing. Yep, slow.
Yeah.
Crank it up.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, wait a minute, is it?
Yeah.
No, I heard the news today. Heard the news today, oh boy.
That's the most popular.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't know what site that is. That is not the number one song.
Wow.
No, sorry.
Day in the
Life.
That's one person's opinion.
Now, is that popularity or just their ranking?
It's one
opinion.
As I said, this is ultimateclassicrock.com's ranking. It's one website's ranking.
Okay, what would be interesting, let's do this, head of research.
Is Rolling Stone.
Find most sold and or downloaded Beatles song. And that'll tell you which was the most popular with the public. Most sales, which Beatles song?
Most sales?
Which song has sold the most copies?
Or even the album.
Ooh.
But the both. No, both. Everything. All inclusive.
Well, the album, honestly, and it was made after the fact.
No, we're not looking for the album. We're looking for the song.
Well, no, I was just saying, like, my favorite album, which was made after the fact, was Yellow Submarine. And they only released it after the animated movie came out, because the animated movie came out and they used a whole bunch of their different songs. When I'm 64, that's another great.
Oh, okay.
Now, me and my dad used to.
While head of research looks this up, do you guys remember who the number one selling female country music artist of all time is?
Bonnie Raitt.
No, good grief.
Country.
No. Country music number one sales of all.
Reba
McEntire? No, Shania Twain.
Really?
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Isn't she Canadian?
Yeah.
She was really big for a while.
She was. If you combine Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, Tidal, and Amazon Prime, the number one downloaded or streamed song of the Beatles in history has come together.
Really?
Wow.
Hey Jude is number two. Here Comes the Sun is three.
A lot of covers of that song,
Let It Be is four. And Twist and Shout is five.
Surprised me.
Oh, Twist and Shout is a good one.
Great. Yeah.
That was an Isley Brothers hit. Oh, my goodness. That surprised me.
There's so many covers that have come together, too.
Michael Jackson did a very good cover of Come Together.
He did?
Yeah, he did a really,
really
good cover.
I can't even picture that.
The news today,
Michael Jackson and Mike Tyson.
Aerosmith did a better one than Michael Jackson.
Today, boy. They photographed my penis.
Hey, what's up, man?
You never heard Aerosmith's version of Come Together?
Nope, never heard that.
Oh, that's a good one.
God.
Or Joe Cocker.
That's the best one.
You want to play the Michael Jackson one?
Yeah, he did.
Sure. Yeah, he did. You're right, he did.
Come Together. Yeah, he had a deep growl of a voice.
Did you just have a bowel movement?
He did, I think.
On the air.
I'm behind him.
Oh, I like this already. I think I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this Jackson?
This is Michael Jackson.
Oh, wow. Michael Jackson.
Sounds like Aerosmith. Okay, let me tell you why it's good. Not because of Michael Jackson. It's the arrangement that's good.
Yeah.
Right. It's nothing to do with Michael Jackson.
He's trying to sneeze when he sings, too.
Yeah, give us Tim's Aerosmith Come Together.
Gotcha.
You know what they're doing right? They're keeping enough of the elements of the original.
Yeah. While making it fresh.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. Steve Tyler, man.
It's got the edge the other one didn't have, but they've kept enough of the
And also that beginning, that little echo he had, that was pretty good, too.
What's the big? It wasn't a big hit, but it was released by a divorced couple. Come Separately.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks, Tim.
He's still coming.
God Almighty.
Thanks, Tim.
Oh,
and now,
man.
Almost a half hour late.
Oh yeah, right.
Here finally is Tim Buffa.
Hey, we have calls
Tim Buffa,
too.
Dan Buffa.
We have Tim Buffa in the studio.
We do have calls. Tim Buffa. You want to take some calls?
Dan Woodburn.
Well, all right. Well,
you want to take some calls? It's your segment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Steve still on the line because he's been on for almost 40
Steve's
minutes.
Steve's been on for 40 minutes, which is
he's
horrible.
Who hangs on the line? That's
Steve.
Endurance.
And Steve, first of all, an apology. Welcome to 590 The Fan. What can we do for you? Because I know you called even before Dan walked in here.
Don't worry. I was having a meeting at work anyway. We were arguing about food waste.
So what do you got? What's up?
Food waste.
So I had something to brighten Tim's day.
To brighten Tim's day.
Okay.
And I'm in the PM, by the way.
Yeah, we know. You tell.
So, when you think that things are dark and bleak and everything's bad, I have broken pretty much every single bone in my body.
Whoa.
Why?
Like evil,
well, not on purpose, Tim. No, not on purpose. How'd you do that, Steve?
I'm kind of accident prone and prone to a violent act. Some guy either tried to rob me or kill me. I didn't stick around to find out.
That'd be nice.
But I got a new eye socket, new face. I got titanium in both my legs. Healed from broken ribs for months and months.
Wow. A new eye socket? Are you blind in that eye? Or do you,
I've got a titanium plate in my arm. Yeah.
No, somehow there was no damage to the actual eye.
Wow.
But they put a new case around it, and so half of my body is fake right now.
So, Steve, can I ask as much as you can tell us about what happened? What the heck happened?
It was kind of a long night, and I tried to bring some girls to my house, which probably wasn't the best idea. But they wanted,
I bet your wife didn't. Like, your wife didn't like that, probably.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Well, she's my ex-wife, but she wasn't around during this stint. Mm-hmm. But tried to bring them over, and they said they wanted to stop somewhere. And so I got the car idling in the front yard, and all of a sudden this big guy comes out, and he says, what are you doing here? In a polite way for radio. What are you doing here? And I turn to the guy in the passenger seat, and I'm like, what? We just stopped. And I turn around, and I get bashed in the face with a baseball bat.
Oh!
Like right in the middle of the face?
Was this a boyfriend of one of these girls or something?
I honestly don't know.
You don't know who he was?
A wooden baseball bat?
What's that?
I mean, was it a wooden or aluminum or
I doubt that he knows. Once you get hit, you don't have time to go back and go, what kind of bat that was?
Depending on when you wake up, you'll know.
Let me see that label.
It could have been a hockey stick or a cricket bat for all I know.
So do you know who the guy was, or do you still not know who he was?
Never seen him before the court date.
But you did find out eventually who he was.
Yeah, because the guy that was with me remembered the address, and so I just put in gear and I drive off.
Wow! Wow!
And somehow, apparently, I got a concussion, and a couple of surgeries later, I was back into it, but.
Okay, but what about all these other bones in your body? You said every bone in your body. That didn't break every bone in your body.
Oh, no. Slips, trips, falls, broken both my legs. Never broke my femur, somehow.
Well, you need to not go outside.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right. You need to stay
like Mr. Glass from
couch and watch TV all the time.
Or wear bubble wrap when you leave.
No kidding.
Wow. So, see, Tim, I guess what he's saying is you could have broken every bone in your body.
Oh, you know, this reminds me of a story that my dad used to say. He said, you know what, anytime you think about it, you're having a bad day, write down a list of your top five problems, and then walk in a room and ask everybody else to write down a list of their top five problems, and put them all in a hat and randomly pull them and read them out loud. And by the end of that meeting, you'll take your five problems back.
No, I do believe that. All right. Well, Steve, thank you for waiting almost 40 minutes to share that.
Well, here's where the best part comes in.
All right.
So I've broken most of my body, but I'm mostly titanium now, so I'm not breaking those bones again.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it was late one night. I was talking with my ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
and I told her that she had 206 bones in her body.
Okay.
Then 207, 206, 207, 206.
Oh, I get it. He added another bone.
Oh.
That's a good one.
Hey,
you know, I actually knew that was coming. I kind of knew this has to be a... Yeah, this has to be a boner joke or something.
Nicely done.
All right, that might have been worth the 40 minutes.
6:37.
All right, Steve. Dan Buffa is almost ready to start his segment. He was going to start a half an hour ago, but you held so long, at least we could do his check-in. So, thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too, Steve.
He's like the $6 million man.
That's a long time to me. I wonder how many variations that story took on before he got on the air. He was probably really preparing it, trimming it, editing it.
I'm sure Jim's here for you.
Yeah, actually.
This is actually a Dan Buffa call. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dan Buffa.
Good afternoon, Dan Buffa. Good afternoon, Frank.
Thank you.
And the PM, as always.
Afternoon, Jim.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you again, Frank. It's been a long time. Dan, I've got a couple of things I want to ask you about. Number one is this. I did see yesterday. I thought it was awesome. I didn't stick around till the very end. But the guy that played the character John at the end, is he the spitting image of him or what?
He is, yes. They found a great guy to play that role.
I kind of lost my breath a minute when the guy turned around. I thought, this is unbelievable.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Big twist in the middle of the movie.
In what movie?
And yesterday, when he goes to see that,
no,
the way
Jim,
he looked,
Jim, so, you're—it's almost like you go, "Oh my goodness, he's not
you
dead."
You brought him back.
He's not dead.
And the thing is, when that scene came on, I was like, "What is this big surprise that he's going to go find?" And right when he opens that door and you see something sitting, you see that looking glass right against the window. You're like, "Oh, they didn't just do this."
Or you see the idea that he was drawing, and when he turned around, I thought, "Oh my God, where did they get this guy?" It was unbelievable.
That was brilliant.
I just love where he hugs him and he's like, "Oh, I think you need some help."
And we tell people we're talking about it'll kind of blow the movie. We can't explain what we're talking about, but you're right. Jim. You're right.
Very special twist. Very good twist.
Two other things, Dan and Frank. If you've talked about these, I apologize. I've just gotten into watching Hulu and things like that. I'm watching now a show called In Plain Sight with Mary McCormick. What are your opinions on it?
I've heard of it, but I have not gotten into it.
Hang on a second. I think I've seen
this. Didn't Tim tell us about that? Isn't that the one where the girl was abducted by her the friend of her parents that had sex with both of them?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Jim, I saw this. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's a true story, and it's beyond belief.
Like the dad gave the person.
Don't give too much away.
Mary McCormick. McCormick.
Yeah, she's a good actress. She's good. She's kind of one of those actors who just kind of, she got a little bit role. So she's the lead in this, right?
She played Howard Stern's wife in the first Private Parts.
Probably one of the greatest lines is where they're with that girl, and he's like, "Don't worry, if you do this, it's not cheating." And then Howard Stern goes, "I don't know what she was saying, but she started making a lot of sense."
Well, this is the movie I'm thinking about. Jim's talking about.
No,
if
it's
I
a
remember,
show, Frank.
A show, rather.
It's a show, Frank.
But isn't it based on a true story?
Yeah, it's a two-part series.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
No, it's not. It's like a 12. It's like a. It's like a four-season show. She is a witness protection plan marshal.
Okay, then you know what I'm thinking of something else.
So this is an original. Is this Hulu or is this
Hulu.
On Hulu from something
else?
He said
it's Hulu. It's Hulu.
But sometimes shows from our networks are on Hulu.
I can't remember. I think it's Amazon.
Oh, I thought you said Hulu. I did not see this. I'm thinking of something else.
It's a series. I didn't know if it's called In Plain Sight. And the other show
watched... The one you and I are talking about, Frank, is called Abducted in Plain Sight.
Yes.
But if you get a chance, Dan, check this out if you can, and I'll listen to see what you review again. It's called In Plain Sight. Mary McCormick
is a good actress.
All right, and Jim, here's a tip. Tim just mentioned something. Check this out. Abducted in Plain Sight, which, Tim, I think is Netflix. Mm-hmm. Abducted in Plain Sight. It's a true story. You will not.
That was the one that everybody was going on the internet saying that they can't watch it again, but it's almost too great.
I will watch it.
Yeah,
Thank you. And the other show I want to ask about real quick, Dan, is this. Did you watch the one season of Kate Beckinsale, Widow?
I did not, but again, that's an Amazon series that I thought looked good, but there's just so many that I had to get to. There's the Julia Roberts Homecoming, there's that one.
Right.
I mean, there's Hannah.
You can't see it. If you get a chance to see it, it bounces around a lot. But again, my main call was this. When I saw yesterday and I saw that scene, and like I say, I'm not trying to blow the end. But
you haven't, no. Just, well, it's been out for a while, too.
I was just taking away going, this is unbelievable. This was the most legitimate twin of anybody I've ever seen. Guys, thanks for taking my call, and have a great day, okay?
Thank you, Jim. And Dan Buffa, I just thought of something that we have to mention, and I didn't find out about this till morning. If you have Dish Network, you now cannot get Channel 4 anymore locally.
What?
Yeah. No, and I think with Direct or Spectrum, no 4. CBS Channel 4, gone.
And also, Slingbox is in maybe losing Fox Sports Midwest, which would mean Cardinal and Blues games are gone.
This has all become so much about money.
It is.
That according to Dish, I have Dish, and so my wife came in, she goes, we can't get Channel 4. And I said, what?
So cable,
said,
you can't watch the news?
No, it's gone.
Oh, wow.
And so I go to 4, and on 4 is a woman, a Dish representative. She's explaining why we're not able to watch our local CBS.
Really? Do they have an issue with CBS or something?
No, it's all about negotiating
money.
It's always about money. Wow. So what happens is, and I didn't know this, CBS, NBC, ABC, which would be 2, 4, 5, they charge Dish to be on Dish. They ought to be grateful they're on Dish.
Yeah,
and apparently they now have jacked it up and they want too much money. Dish said, no, we're not going
to
put you on.
For a minute, there was one cable provider that was going to take KSDK off, but then they came to an agreement. Like,
well,
minute.
That Dish does not have HBO for this very reason. Except all the other reason is HBO is owned, DirecTV is owned by, help me out. DirecTV is AT&T. So they
own HBO as well.
So they own HBO. So Dish doesn't have HBO now.
Oh, Cinemax.
No way.
AT&T owns
DirecTV.
Really?
Yes,
of course.
They do.
HBO.
Oh, no.
Cinemax,
HBO.
The same
owns
thing.
HBO?
Time Warner owns HBO.
HBO is
Cinemax.
Owned by the same conglomerate. So now you have no HBO on Dish. You have no Channel 4 on Dish. Something better happen here, or Dish is going to be losing customers.
You know,
I don't know who's who. I only heard the one side, because if you go to 4, you hear the Dish rep.
You know, this is why this makes sense when Disney wants to take the Marvel stuff away, because they own the rights to that.
You bet.
But this whole thing, they're just trying. I mean, it's all.
And by the way, this is all costing us. This is why we pay more for Netflix, a little more for Netflix, a little more Hulu.
And for me,
they keep jacking the rates up.
I mean, I've been saving money with Slingbox because I can get baseball, hockey, and I can get my HBO. But now their Fox Sports could be moving away from Slingbox because, again, probably the same thing, politics, power plays,
so
money.
If you want to watch the Channel 4, and by the way, this 4 has just got to be, the people that work there have got to be, because I don't know what percentage of people in this town watch the local news over
Doug Vaughn's,
but I'll bet you it's 75%.
Oh yeah.
And they've lost all those viewers. They got to just be beside themselves.
Spectrum had the same deal like last year, the year before with Channel 2. They took off Channel 2.
Yeah, and if you want to watch the Channel 4 news, you have to do it with a regular antenna.
Yeah.
Just a plain old antenna.
What are you doing with an antenna on top of your deck? I'm just trying to listen to the news.
Yeah. And that's
the way it is.
All right, what else you got?
And you were mentioning about, movies boosting ticket sales. I mean, when that Bohemian Rhapsody came out last year, Queen sales went through the roof.
Sure.
And then Elton John's with Rocket Man. And you're going to have Blinded by the Light, a movie involving Bruce Springsteen's career. True story. That comes out next month. So that's going to boost his ticket sales.
A movie can save an industry.
It can, yeah.
And I'll give you an example. Had a wonderful talk with Carl Donaldson last Saturday. I was in his dealership. A long time, terrific person. What a great family. Motorcycle dealer for 60 years. Millennials now, they're not interested in motorcycles anymore. They didn't want to get a driver's license. And so Carl was talking about what has happened to not just the ones he sells, but Harley. And I said, Carl, here's what has to happen. We need a movie, a blockbuster movie that's based around a guy or a girl or both on motorcycles.
That's it.
And that you watch, man, motorcycle sales.
Because movies, man, I mean, and really the music industry is kind of hit and miss right now, especially with sales from the songs and the albums. So these kind of things, they could save it. I think if a band just goes, hey, can we get anybody to make a movie about us? Okay, thanks.
Sidebar, free commercial. Anybody out there who's the least bit interested in an ATV or motorcycle or motor scooter or those Polaris-type things I love that four-wheels are like little Jeeps.
ATV?
Yeah, yeah. No, not just ATV. You know the ones like Polaris makes them? They're like Dune Bug and stuff. He sells all that stuff. You will never, ever deal with a more knowledgeable or more honest guy than Donaldson. There, free plug. Okay, what's next?
So we talked about Toy Story. Well, in the same year Toy Story came out, Lion King came out. Disney, one of their classics. Well, 25 years later, Jon Favreau, who did Jungle Book really well, I think. He did
very
the live
well.
Action remake. He did Lion King. And unlike Jungle Book, this is just, as my friend who saw it with me said, a soulless cash grab. This movie, it's just for a live action. I mean, really, if you're going to do something, you got to add a fresh spin to it or make it really look great. All this is...
Everything I hear is they ruined it.
Mike Evans didn't like it.
It's just... Mike
Evans didn't like
it
either.
No. Yeah, it's just one... And they get James Earl Jones back to do Mufasa. They get Donald Glover. They got Beyonce to voice a role.
Did they change the music or is it still the same?
It's the same music and it's not as good. Donald Glover
then
cannot
sing. It's not the same music.
It's the same songs, but it's not sung as well as the original. You know, this is like Aladdin. I just say, if you're going to mess with it, leave it alone. You know, if you're going to mess with it, do it really well. And I think Jon Favreau did it because he did Jungle Book so well. He probably thought, well, let me do Lion King.
You know what I thought it was going to be? I saw Jungle Book. I thought, oh my goodness, it's going to be great. It's going to be Lion King with everything that was good about the animated one, only better because the animals are going to be so lifelike. Right. Apparently, that's not what happened.
Yeah, it's just one of those movies, and it finishes up, and it's 2 hours. That's a long 2 hours.
What was the original one?
I think the original was like an hour and 40. I'm going to look it up because I know
it was
less.
So did they add anything, or is it like, you know, a shot-for-shot remake?
It seems like a shot-for-shot remake, but the original was an hour and 28 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So they added more. I mean, there's a lot of more scenes when he goes into exile, when Simba goes into... They add a lot more.
But they weren't necessary.
No, and really, you know... It's like I said, if you're going to mess with a classic, you have to do something right with it. Don't mess it up. See, Guy Ritchie did Aladdin, and now all I can picture is Will Smith trying to have an accent and trying to sing in a movie. And it just that is in my head now. So I can't even watch the original Lion King, original Aladdin. So that's for this year for Disney remakes, Dumbo is terrible.
Did we do ARDs yet for Lion King? Maybe we did them. Let's have it.
I would say one.
What? Wow. Oh, come on. Wow. Are you kidding me?
Wow. Maybe one and a half about being nice.
Oh, my God. I hate to hear that.
I mean, I'll recommend the alligator film over this movie.
Let's go. One ARD for Lion King.
You gotta, all right. Here you go.
I got alligators in that movie.
All right, Dan.
Man.
Done.
Jeez. Once again, I am going to recommend you can stay at home because there's another film that came out this weekend called Into the Ashes, a good old-fashioned crime thriller set in Birmingham, Alabama, starring one of my favorites, playing another bad guy, Frank Grillo, and Luke Grimes.
I can't picture him. I need to see a picture.
He has this big... Yeah, here, I'll show you. He's a... Here, maybe you show him. He's a New Yorker. He's been around for a while. He's got big old, tall, black hair. Very in good shape.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
He's been around. He's got a lot of stuff coming out. Luke Grimes, who plays Casey on Yellowstone.
You folks dial up 11.2, you'll see what we're talking about.
Yeah. we have the picture up in the left.
This picture, a classic New Yorker with great hair, a gangster. That's basically Frank Grillo. Luke Grimes, who plays Casey on Yellowstone, plays the chaotic son of Kevin Costner. Right. He is the lead role. He plays Nick, who apparently was a criminal. He got out of the life. He met a woman. He married her. He lives in a small town in Alabama, and what happens when his old criminal buddies get out of jail, led by Frank Grillo? Well, they track him down, and they ruin his life.
I wrote a screenplay.
What'd you write?
I cannot find any backers for it.
Here it comes!
It's about a private investigator over in England, Limey. In fact, it takes place in Birmingham, England.
Wow.
And I put that in there because of you. And it's about a private detective. He's a 600-pound private named Nick Castillo, and the movie is called Nick, the World's Biggest Dick, because private investigators are called dicks, private dicks, and he's huge, the world's biggest dick, Nick, the world's biggest dick. I cannot find any backers for it to get it.
Maybe Will Ferrell, funnierdie.com, maybe they can do it.
Maybe try going with Vivid Productions, something like that. Maybe.
Yeah.
I have to change the story.
Maybe try a new career.
Just a little bit.
Right.
I'm trying that here. It's not going anywhere. I just thought I'd throw that.
No, but this is a good old-fashioned movie. It's a revenge tale.
It's called what again?
Into the Ashes. It's directed and written by Aaron Harvey. He's kind of a first-time guy. It's got the kid from Yellowstone. He's good. It's got Robert Taylor from Longmire. He played the lead role in it. I think it was an AMC series about that sheriff. Frank Grillo plays the leader of these criminals, and really, well, they're going back because this guy who cleaned up his life did something. He stole money from them. And so he's living this life. But, you know, when you're a criminal, I don't think in the movies you're ever really out of it. You always kind of have that.
No, he's looking over your shoulder.
You're looking over your shoulder, and you can tell in the first part of the film he's thinking that they're coming for him. And when he shows up, I mean, what happens in the movie is pretty brutal. I mean, these guys, they show up and they just ruin his life. And Frank Grillo, who has played a lot of different guys, good guys, guys that are kind of stuck in the gray area between good and bad, he plays a bad guy here. And I don't think anybody has more of a sinister presence on film. I mean, when they go into his, he comes into his house and they're just waiting there for him. And they go, do you remember us? You know,
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, you know, you're coming home hoping for dinner on the table, and then there's your old comrades getting ready to put a gun in your face. But the kid from Yellowstone, it's his movie. He's the lead. I think he's good. I think I still see Casey, though.
That's my problem. As the lead. Yep, I see him.
See, that's the problem. Whenever I see him now, he's playing a similar guy as Casey. Casey's kind of a guy who gets into trouble, gets Kevin Costner's guy into trouble in that show. He plays a similar guy here. He's kind of a good guy, but he's also bad. He's capable of doing bad things. And the movie's good, though. It's an hour and 30 minutes. It's action-packed. It's got some good thrilling scenes to it, some good power. There's a kind of a Bible reference in the movie that kind of wraps the movie, starts it and ends it with. But it's a good little movie. You can
There's
watch
a Bible reference to Sling Blade where Carl says, Bible says two men ought not to lay together.
Uh-huh.
He said that in there, that movie.
Hey, Dan, we have another phone call.
We do.
Yes, we do, Dan. Let's check in and see what
you know
the
what? You
wants.
Can we do the ARDs on Into the Ashes?
Yes.
Let's do a solid three. I think I can't go bad. 3.5, but it's you can watch it on demand on any of your devices.
Not bad. Here they come. Into the Ashes, three ARDs.
All right, Dan.
And now we go to our caller, Josh, who's been holding 11 minutes and 8, 9, 10 seconds.
Well, that's no 40.
Josh, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dan Buffa.
Hey, Dan. Hey. Have you had a chance to see the or watch the Mr. Rogers trailer that came out yesterday?
I did, and I was going to cover that in my trailer section. It just came out yesterday. Great trailer. Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers.
Is this Josh Bauman?
It is.
Oh.
Hey, you had your time yesterday. You had your own segment. Dan, good ear. Good ear. You could have at least disguised your voice and changed your name.
And he didn't say he was AM in the PM.
How is it that Dan answers the phone and talks to Josh, and Josh doesn't say, hey, Dan, it's Josh Bauman? Like Dan didn't hear his voice. Josh didn't tell Dan who he was.
Tim, that was
and then he only
all
recognizes
part of it.
It on the air.
Yeah.
So, Josh, next time you call, change your name and just change your voice a little bit. So, sorry, what was Josh's question?
It's a movie coming out in November called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. A movie about Fred Rogers and his interview with Tom Junod, I think. They renamed the journalist in the movie, but it's about an interview he gave about what he does. And
the whole movie is about an interview?
Well, it's about this big interview he did, and I like it that they're focusing on a part in his life. It's later in his life. It's back when he's an established name, and he's writing a piece about being a hero, and he asked Mr. Rogers, do you consider yourself a hero? And that's kind of the whole basis of the movie. The journalist is a cynic. He's kind of skeptical about what Mr. Rogers does, so he gets to experience what he does over the course of the movie.
So is this a hypothetical? Is this really
No,
happening?
It's real. It's real. Tom Junod, who wrote, I think, for GQ and many other great magazines and wrote those long-form articles, he did this interview in real life.
I wish Mr. Rogers, in his late years, older, had rewritten the song and made it, and he'd be a resident at a retirement place, A Beautiful Day in the Nursing Home. Beautiful day. I thought I was going to hope what happened.
Hang on,
let the left die down. Okay.
Do you want me to hang up on Josh now?
No, I don't want to hang up. I don't like hanging up on people.
I'm more nervous on the phone than I am in studio. I'll talk to you guys Monday.
That comes out on Thanksgiving.
And I'm going to say with Tom Hanks, I know the world loves Tom Hanks. I know that.
I love him.
And I think sometimes Tom Hanks has put in things where somebody else could have done it maybe better.
Maybe.
But in this case, I don't know that I could come up with anybody better for Mr. Rogers than Tom Hanks.
And when he comes out in the trailer and he starts singing that song, you go, wow. I mean, it's just... you know, I just watched you in this movie, and now I just listened to you in Toy Story. So I think he's one of the
best. See, I didn't buy him in Catch Me If You Can as the guy looking for Frank Abagnale. I didn't think Tom Hanks.
Really?
Yeah, no.
I loved it. I loved him in that movie.
No, I thought that
And then he played a hitman in Road to Perdition.
I didn't like that either. I don't see Tom Hanks as that. I see Tom Hanks as Forrest Gump. I see him as Mr. Rogers. I don't see him as like a bad guy hitman. I just don't.
He can do it.
Yeah. He was a con man in The Lady Killers, and that was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I love that.
Other trailers, 33 years after the first movie, we have a Top Gun 2 trailer, and this trailer is great.
Somebody needs to write a movie called The Trailer.
I'm telling you, yeah, they should. I mean, it probably
you see the trailer, the trailer for the trailer?
The trailer for the trailer. But this comes 33 years. It comes 7 years after director Tony Scott committed suicide. They were going to do this film 7 years ago, and then the original director jumped off a bridge. And then it was pretty much halted. Now they're doing this.
He really jumped off
the bridge? He did. I mean, a great director, Ridley Scott's brother, Tony Scott, back in August of 2012.
Wow. He left a note? Anybody know why?
No, I mean, he suffered from depression, but it was really sudden. They were supposed to meet the next day, Tom Cruise and Tony Scott, about Top Gun 2.
Wow.
And, you know, maybe he, you know, it just, they said he suffered from pretty bad depression, though. So that was tough. So the movie, 7 years later, now they're making it, and they got, it's going to focus on an older Maverick, of course. He is helping out Goose's son, played by Miles Teller.
Nice.
And John Hamm's in it. Jennifer Connelly, who is gorgeous.
You think John Hamm is a great actor?
I think he is. I think really? He's good because he takes a lot of... He doesn't do a lot of leading role parts. He kind of takes the smaller supporting...
See, I like him, but I don't think he's great. I think he's good looking. I think sometimes when you're good looking, you get a kind of a carry... That carries
you
a little.
Did you see the Ben Affleck movie where he's the Brinks truck banks robber and John Hamm was the...
The town. Good stuff.
Director of the FBI? John Hamm played like a real sleazy, badass law enforcement guy. Real sleazy.
Remember that, I need to reevaluate.
Remember the interrogation scene where he's like, you're not just knocking off corner store markets.
Yeah.
He's got Ben Affleck's criminal in the interrogation
room. I need to reevaluate my
favorite scene in that movie was when he walks up to Ben Affleck's girlfriend. Ben Affleck's a bank robber.
Yeah.
And
I love that town. It's a great movie.
And he pulls out, I'm going to give you this quiz, okay? Because I think I have a $20 bill on me. So he starts to kind of hit on Ben Affleck's baby mama.
Blake Lively.
At the bar. No. And he's kind of, you know, giving her a little sweet eye. And she's giving a little playback. And he goes, you look like you could measure things pretty well. She goes, well, it depends on what I'm measuring. And he pulls out a $20 bill. He says, do you think this is longer or shorter than 6 inches? And he says it like in a real seductive way.
He does.
And she goes, I think it's shorter. He goes, oh, it's 6.14 inches. And then he starts to go into the weight of it and the ounce and the weight of it.
Doesn't he go?
I need to watch some more stuff. But I do like him. I like him.
Yeah, and he's good. And Jeremy Renner was nominated for the Best Supporting Oscar. He played Affleck's like a crew member. He plays the volatile kind of gun happy trigger finger guy in the crew.
Here's one of the great perks of becoming famous like John Hamm. Some of his biggest fattest checks that he gets in the mail are not from any movies, but from anybody?
Mad Men.
The Mercedes commercial.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's the voice of Mercedes Benz.
Wow. He is, and he's good, too.
Yes, he is good.
You have to realize, Frank, that of the top 100 compensated athletes in the world, most of them
make
more money from endorsements than they do from actually playing the sport.
Yeah,
I saw the stats on Roger Federer the other day, and the amount of tennis money he's won is a lot to anybody until you see the amount of money he's made from
endorsements. Yeah.
Oh.
Merchandise, yeah.
For years, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson were the top two compensated athletes with endorsements and actual prize money won combined, and the actual prize money that they won was less than 5% of what they made overall. No.
And John Hamm, who lost both his parents before the age of 17, and even when he auditioned for Mad Men, the creator was like, I can tell that guy was not raised by his parents. He just knew it. He knew it by his audition. Hmm. So, and before that, he was teaching at Webster University. He was.
How in the world can you tell from an audition if somebody wasn't raised by his parents?
I think he read the lines, maybe he really was.
Or it sounds good to say it after the fact.
Maybe.
Once you've read that.
So. John Hamm was teaching at Webster?
He was teaching at Webster.
What was
he? He taught English.
Wow.
English literature. He went to John Burroughs, and he didn't really make it until Mad Men. He was into his 30s when he got that break.
Right.
He was doing just about nothing. But, yeah, he's good, and he's got a little part. I think he plays One of the people that's over Maverick, that kind of oversees his action, Ed Harris is in it. It looks great. Comes out next year. This is kind of a teaser. So
as much as I don't want to like Tom Hanks, because I think the whole Scientology thing, I gotta give him
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. I mean, this guy, for his age. Yeah. He's all in when it comes to the sign. I think he works his guts
out. He's kept himself in shape. Yes. He's the one. And really, I like to think, even though there's a writer-director, I think Tom Cruise is kind of like the writer-director,
I think he has
star,
a lot of input.
Producer. And I think he made this right. There's the scenes with the planes where they're chasing.
Is the music as
around.
Good as the first one?
Yes, they brought back the original theme in the trailer.
Kenny Loggins, did he do it?
No. Yeah, it kind of like a more of an orchestra version of that song. It's
good because
really
the
well
music
done.
Really helped the original.
Yeah, it
movie.
Did. And Val Kilmer is not seeing the trailer, but he supposedly is coming back, even though he just got over throat cancer. So hopefully Val Kilmer Iceman.
So the new Top Gun, how many ARDs?
Oh, the new trailer?
Oh, but not the
you
movie?
Just saw the trailer.
Oh, you
yeah,
haven't.
The trailer.
Oh, you've only seen
so
the
just like the Mr. Rogers. That came out this
okay,
week.
Okay, so you haven't seen the movie.
This comes out next year, so it's kind of a teaser.
No ARDs. You haven't seen it.
Go watch it, though. It's good, though.
Have you given your review of the trailer for It 2?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh.
Did it just come out?
But I have heard it. It's scary as ever.
Did you like It?
Yes.
I liked it too.
It 2 is coming out around Christmas time this year, and the trailer of it is out right now. Raise the hair on my arms.
Now they're really? Older, right, Tim? They're older.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the kids that come back.
Jessica Chastain.
Because remember the whole theme was, you know, he comes around every 29
yeah.
years. Every
yeah.
29 years.
Penny, early, Pennywise.
Pennywise comes around every 20 or 29 years, whatever it was. Well, it's the kids from It coming back as adults.
Was this the clown?
Yeah.
And of course, the actor who played on True Blood, it's his mm-hmm. brother that plays Pennywise, Bill Skarsgård.
I wrote a screenplay about a clown, and it takes place in old Roman times. Oh, mm-hmm. It too brute, but...
oh, my goodness. Yeah. Somebody called
So today, that. On your jokes, you've gotten 2 laughs out of Tim and 2 very, very long
Tim,
laughs.
Tim, just courtesy laugh.
Somebody called and asked laugh. If that the movie that you proposed, Frank, the trailer, if that would be shown on, like, a mega screen, would that be a double-wide trailer?
Not bad.
That person could be one of the writers on the show, but we're full. No openings. We have all the writers. We have 26
quick
writers.
Quick couple things before I go. You Avengers has taken over Avatar for number one all time. $2.79 billion.
And who was it that said, I think it was Mike Evans, that James Cameron is depressed?
Yeah,
depressed.
No, he sent out a little tweet saying, hey, good for you. Great.
Once again, Mike Evans made up a story. He's done that before.
Margot Robbie is going to play Barbie next year.
Oh, Barbie.
Live action Barbie.
What could that be about?
I don't know. Margot Robbie walking around.
I mean, really? Barbie?
Is it going to be like the TV? I mean, the little toys come alive?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like Toy Story?
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah.
Kind of, but what they're probably going to do is like, you know, this doll gets transformed into a human being, and then she's just going to be like a Barbie doll walking around.
Is there any porn produced with like Toy Story? Like
that
characters?
Would be cool.
Would that be fun?
Yeah.
Barbie and Ken X-rated.
Just type Toy Story into Pornhub.
And
I'm
Chris
sure
Hemsworth.
There is some.
I think I saw it's called Battery Operated Toy Story.
You have 30 seconds.
That's we don't have any safe search on. I'm going to pull up Pornhub real quick and I'll type in Toy Story. I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'll just say look up Keanu Reeves because he did another good thing this week, but I'll let you find that story. Good Keanu Reeves, good dude, having a great year. Until next week, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of
it. We've had enough as well. Dan Buffa, everybody. Courtesy of Window World. Selling replacement window knife. And there is
a lot of Toy Story porn on Pornhub.
Well, I wouldn't you know it.
I mean, there is just a ridiculous amount of porn.
All right, speaking of Dan Buffett's sponsor, Window World, let's talk about this for a minute. Now, we've got some spectacular weather. Boy, if you could live somewhere, I guess Hawaii is the closest place, where the weather would be like this every day, it would be great. But we have seasons and cold and hot and... It wasn't that many days ago. It was miserable. It'll be miserable again. And that's when you know your windows are going bad, if they are, because around the window, heat's coming in. You don't want to come in. And in the winter, the opposite. Look, at some point, you got to buy replacement windows or just sell the house and let the next owner do it, because most homes, the great majority of homes, are not built with windows in them that are built to last as long as the house. You have to replace them. More people in this country by Window World Windows than any other replacement window. That is an absolute fact. Now, how do they do that? They do it lots of ways. They do it with price. They do it with quality. They do it with the backing of a of a full lifetime warranty and a good housekeeping seal of approval, and they do it with installation with their own people who know what they're doing and are courteous and respect your home, everything about it. Other window people can't figure it out. They're never going to catch up. I think they're going to be number one for as long as they're in business, so why would you not include the number one selling replacement window when you're shopping for a replacement window? Go to their website, look at all the other great reasons to check this window out and to let them come out and give you a free in-home estimate. You can find out more at windowworldst.louis.com. The Playhouse is on the way after the news because it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Martin Kilcoyne. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. A bill extending funding for the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund has been approved by the Senate. The bill that was recently approved by the House extends funding for decades. First responder John Feel praised the lawmakers who got it done.
These people laid the lumber. They tackled the Congress and then the Senate, and I can't be more proud of them.
President Trump is expected to sign the measure. The House Ways and Means Committee is being sued by President Trump as a way to block his tax returns from becoming public. The suit comes just weeks after the committee sued both